probably check your email before you go to sleep tonight.
There you go.
Just to make sure. Thanks. Okay, that one. Okay. You can probably, some of you do that. Some, and I'll try not to pick on you too much. How many of you check your email almost as soon as you get up in the morning? Probably just to check in. And by the way, this is not an anti-technology class. I'll say this several times. We're just kind of analyzing the situation as Christians. But it gets pretty seriously busy. Sometimes, I don't know if you've had these days where you get to the end of the day and you stop, but it's not because you finished with everything you had to do. It's just that you're unconscious. You're out of time. And sometimes going to sleep is difficult. They're finding out more and more there's certain habits that we get into, like checking our email just before we go to bed, and it tends to be antagonistic to sleep and things like that. So I say all that to say the odds are that you probably shouldn't be here tonight. In fact, I bet you there's probably people who thought about being here tonight, just like any congregational activity, and they just ran out of time. There was too much going on. That's probably why some people are not sitting next to you right now, is there was too much stuff to do on their list. I think of it kind of this way. We're going to kind of head to the point here in a second. I wonder sometimes if we're living life like, do you remember, and I always have to explain this, depending on the generation that I'm talking to, a record player, remember those? I remember growing up and you could play it on the wrong speed. And that was always kind of fun on a boring summer afternoon. And you could play a 33 and a third on a 45 speed and play it fast. I think we do that with life sometimes. You kind of get the gist of the song, but it's not what it was meant to be. Sometimes I think our lives are like that. We're moving through one day after another, and it's like on fast speed. Or maybe better yet, it's like watching a movie fast forward. I remember not being able to rent movies. You probably remember when you were able to take a movie home. That was a big deal. My dad rented The Yearling. I don't know if you remember that. It was an old movie. And he got the projector and the film. And we put up a sheet in the basement. This is a long time ago. Now you can just buy, you know, you can watch it on your phone. It's kind of different. But I think sometimes we live our lives like watching a movie fast forward. You kind of get the gist of the story, but you know you're missing something. And that's what I'd like to suggest. We're going to kind of take some time tonight and the next few nights just to kind of look at the situation. There might be a better way of doing this, and I don't know your life. I know you probably have some things in common with me, and I want you to know up front there's still, even I've presented this before, and every time I present it, I feel kind of like a hypocrite because I'm going to suggest that you do things that I'm still working on trying to get past and maybe get a better grip on life. Let me get this as a general, just some general feedback. I'd be curious. Do you feel, how do you feel about the technology aspect of our society right now? If you can just give me any general thoughts, do you feel like it's, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'll give you a second to choose your own words, then I'll put words in your mouth. How do you feel about the technology situation? So a reporter grab you and stick a microphone in your face.
It's beneficial if it's not abused.
Okay, beneficial if it's not abused. Great.
It can be overwhelming.
I don't know about you, but they'll announce the next thing. In fact, I met with my cousin today at lunch, and they have a 3D printer at his work. I got to see it. I don't know. Does everybody know what a 3D printer is? You can, like, if you had one at home tonight, you could be like, well, that's an interesting coffee cup at Amazon, and you could hit print, and it would print a cup that you could drink from right then, made out of fluid that's in the copier. So that's kind of, there's things that are happening all the time. It just makes you, and they're even working on being able to print human organs that way. Seems to be like, I think my kidney is on the fritz. Can you print one up before we go to bed here? And we can, there's some bizarre things coming, and it's kind of overwhelming. It can be, well, maybe it can be abused. There's any thoughts about technology in general that you have? Because we've all have lived long enough to observe some changes. I don't know if there's things that have stuck out to you.
With my granddaughter, I've noticed the thing that bothers me the most is she believes everything.
Interesting.
Because she's 11, but, you know, if she read it on the internet,
there you go.
That would be true.
Yeah, I knew when we were growing up, we had a friend, and she would always say something outlandish, and we'd be like, well, that's not true. She says, I read it. And if it was in a book, But now they even have websites to disprove stuff that circulates on the internet. Gossip, the internet is gossip's best friend, or urban legends and things. There's all kinds of stuff. You'll hear the rumors of people dying and all kinds of stuff, and it just gets circulated out there. So that's an interesting side effect. It's hard for maybe some generations to say, wait a second, this is truth and this is not, which already brings us to some spiritual concerns.
A lot of anxiety.
Okay, there's some anxiety, seems to be the case. I read recently they're talking about, it's called email apnea. Kind of weird. I don't know. There's some things I'll kind of bring up that they've been researching. You kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. Of course, God has the final say on all things, and we're going to look at some of the things that have to do with that. But email apnea, apparently they've been doing research that whenever you click on your email, a lot of people, not everybody, will hold their breath just for a second. Because many times emails result in stress. And so I don't know if you've heard of sleep apnea and it's trouble breathing. They're actually discovering these physical implications for checking your email, for whatever that might mean. But that could be true back when there was just snail mail. You open up a letter. I don't know. Some interesting things. Any other general comments before we keep going? That's interesting.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I have mixed feelings about it. There's some, you know, already, again, we're kind of getting into, I mean, right now, this is being recorded. We've got electrical lighting. I mean, obviously, we're not going to, there's a TV right there. And we all drove here, I think, unless one of the cool things probably about living in Windsor is you can walk places. So that's probably nice. Just out of curiosity, how many of you walked here? Anybody walk here? Okay. Your mopeds and your segues, no. But yeah, it brings up a point. There's certain things that are kind of become part of a congregation, and there's concerns about that, you know, visual things and things like that. So these are things we want to talk about, and I'll be curious what you have to say. I think I'm going to suggest this. There's a real possibility, and I think this is probably a no-brainer, that we're not doing this right. Living on earth, of course, God has given us his word to guide us in that. But I think sometimes our society, the situation can be where you can end up getting to the end of a day, to the end of a week, or the end of your life, and realize it's not, something's wrong, something's off. So I'm gonna suggest this. It may, when we start talking about this, seem pretty complicated. But it's actually very simple. I'm going to suggest there's two main problems with our situation. And maybe you want to add to it or make it, you know, adapt this. This is not solid truth. It comes down to two things. We have too much stuff and too much to do, too much, and we're moving too fast. Too much and too fast. Pretty much sums it up. The difficulty, you might even sum it up as overload. But I'm not a fan of suggesting that, oh no, we're in the year 2015 and it's all going to crash and burn because we're becoming more immoral, and to suggest that there's a point where we'll outdistance this. Things are changing. There are some bizarre things in the news and things I'm sure you shake your head at, but we will never outdistance what God can provide for us to survive as Christians. So I'm not a fan of suggesting, oh no, 2015 is the worst possible situation. That's not what's going on. But the 21st century is kind of odd. There's some things that we've never seen before. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. I totally believe that. But one problem for us is we're kind of too close to the problem. I like this, what this one guy said. If you want to know about water, don't ask a fish. And I think that's our situation. It's going to be pretty tough for us, even as Christians, to take the clarity of the word and take a step back and look at our situation in our life today and say, okay, what's working here and what's not? And it's difficult because we're so attached to things. I know, I think I can guess safely that many of us have made a U-turn urgently going back to get your cell phone that you left at home. Because you can't live without it. You cannot function in the day without it. And I don't blame you. something that didn't even exist not that long ago, and now it's like part of us. Several times I've left and then thought, I need to call everybody and tell them that I left my cell phone. I'm not thinking, I need my cell phone to do that. I don't know any phone numbers anymore. I know just a couple. My cell phone died a few months ago, and I had to go to the office, call a friend to get my wife's phone number so I could call her and tell her that I had left my cell phone. Kind of pitiful. But it's hard to be objective. We're going to try and take a step back and, of course, look at maybe some spiritual concerns. But I also want you to know this. This is not shame on us. How dare you have so much technology. It's not anti-technology. But I think it's exciting to consider maybe there's some blessings here in maybe controlling this a little better. That's where I kind of get excited about it. We're going to talk about some things that we observe every day, some research that's been done. But, of course, the main and bottom line is what the Bible has to say about it. Is there anything, and again, this is kind of a general question, we'll get into some specifics here. Is there anything, a point where you observed something as far as technology where it was kind of, you almost felt like, I'm not sure I'm wanting to go that direction. I kind of like this decade. Let's just keep it this way. We're kind of going a little too far. Have you ever felt that way? Is there any particular thing that stands out in your mind?
The iPhones and all the stuff that came out that was so great, you know, mini computers to keep it smart as well.
Right.
And then I won one in a contest.
Oh, there you go. And there you go. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's several things that I thought I kind of looked at and said, I don't know, it seems like a waste of time, and then I'm the next guy, I'm the next one. And it's not necessarily bad, but it's interesting how it slowly becomes part of you. I know the exact friend that got me into texting, because I remember the first text I got, I never answered him, because I didn't know what was going on. And I said, well, okay, well, that's interesting. And then, so I finally got caught up in it, and there's some good, there's some bad. Is there anything else that kind of just grab your attention before I'm going to talk about some details here. Okay.
Just some of the progress on artificial intelligence.
Yeah. I have a good friend who studied artificial intelligence. In fact, where I teach, one of the students and I kind of debated about the whole idea. Maybe if we have some time, we'll talk about that. So there's a lot of ideas that are kind of headed our way and might be worth looking at. Fair warning. Some of these things that I'm going to present as suggestions, and we are headed towards specific suggestions, some of the things you're going to say, okay, I can see where you're coming from. Some of it is going to be hard to even consider doing, and you're not going to like it, neither am I. That's why I'm standing up here yet again presenting some material that I'm thinking, that's still something I haven't dealt with. It's kind of like, don't mess with my stuff. There's a point where you don't want people messing with your stuff, and that can be the problem. Because if the problem is overload, if I can prove, as we talk about these classes, that it's too much and too fast, there's really only one solution, and that's getting rid of stuff. My wife and I are still settling into where we live. I'm moving boxes and debris from years of stashing stuff away in boxes, papers and books and things. And I thought, how does this happen? Just accumulates over time. Let's start with Luke 18. This is a very famous part of the Bible. Some of the things, if I were to suggest to you, say, hey, you need to get rid of that, you'd say, great, good riddance. Some things it's going to be hard to even consider letting go of. Luke 18, this encounter with Jesus serves so many purposes on so many levels. But I think it's very relevant to what we're going to be talking about. It's the rich young man. It's Luke 18, verse 22. Would somebody read verses 22 through 23? Who has that and would like to read it?
When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.
Okay, so you remember this guy. He has a bunch of stuff. You almost have to admire him that he was motivated to go to Jesus and let Jesus interfere, because most people, when everything's great and they got lots of zeros in their account, you know, with a one in front of it at least, is everything's great, they don't really have time for things like Jesus. So he goes, you know, there's a problem, but notice what his plan is. He's thinking, okay, here's my life. I'm going to go to Jesus. I've been accumulating stuff. And when he goes to Jesus, you remember what his question is? What else do I need to do? What else can I add to what I'm already doing, to what I already have, in order to make this work? Because something's not right. I can tell this is not meshing. Life, something's missing. And notice that Jesus does the exact opposite. He's showing up expecting a plan that's addition. Jesus says, actually, here's your problem. You need subtraction. You have too much stuff. At least in this case, for this man, Jesus tells him, no, you don't need to do or add more stuff. You need to get rid of stuff. And I think that's what threw him. And I think, well, you tell me why would somebody in his position, it says he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. It was not obviously not the answer he was hoping for. Jesus did not follow the script in his mind. Why do you think it's so hard for somebody in his position to let go? Because here's Jesus, you know, you think, okay, well, he said it. I'm ready. Let's get rid of it. You ever thought about maybe what ran through his mind? I'm asking you to kind of read the mind of a person who's been, what's that?
His status.
Yeah, can you imagine? You know, I never thought of that, because I bet you there would be people say, what are you doing? People are going to react a certain way around you if you do that. That's true. I picture him at the beginning of the day. I don't know. It's not recorded. Either working up the courage or coming together, piecing the plan together. I'm going to go talk to Jesus. I'm going to find out what else I need to do. The end of the day did not turn out like he hoped it would. He went back to his stuff. Things remained the same, and he was not okay with the solution. And I think it's because of this. Here's his old life. He's got all this stuff, and his plan is to take all this stuff and go to Jesus, say, what else can I do? And Jesus say, plus, do this. Okay. But the plan is you're going to have to lose all of that and follow me. Shake off all this baggage you've got, all this stuff, and you're going to follow me. And I think here's the problem. He thought this was better than this. I think if he had full clarity of what it would lead to, a life with Jesus, he would have said, no problem. Remember, Paul said it's rubbish. All that's rubbish compared to following Jesus. I'm going to compare him to another guy. It's in Matthew 13. He's a different man, different perspective. See, the young rich man didn't have clarity. He didn't know what he was giving up as to what he would achieve. And of course, I'm suggesting that with us, there's a lot of things I think we'd be more willing to let go of if we knew what was waiting for us, what the blessing would be if we did. Matthew 13:44, it's very short. It's a parable. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So let's compare that guy to the rich young man. So again, this guy has something. I know because he has to sell it. He goes, he finds the treasure. He could have said, I'm not sure. I'm going to keep my stuff. He recognized with clarity, this is worth it. And he got rid of, how much did he sell? Did you catch that? Everything. Which is exactly the price that Jesus demanded of the rich young man. It's going to cost you everything. That alone is a big eye-opener. Sometimes we think Christianity costs you Sundays and maybe, you know, some other things like that. No, it costs you everything to follow Jesus. It's all or nothing. And so I think once we see clearly, there's some decisions we might make if we fully appreciate what we might gain. Any thoughts on either of those men? I want to always pause and see if you have any thoughts. I'm really curious, because one thing you're going to notice is that things are changing fast. So it's almost like the things that I'm presenting to you, some of it's becoming obsolete as I speak it. It's moving so fast. But here's some things that I want to suggest is that we might need to do some subtraction. I suspect all of us know there's things in our lives that not necessarily that are wrong. That's obvious. If there's sin in your life, it's time to take a close look at it and repent and get it out of your life. I'm talking about other stuff. Stuff that can weigh you down and entangle you and maybe result in sin. Sometimes those are the things we need to look at too. So I'm going to tell you some specific stuff, how we're kind of overloaded. And this is no news flash to you, but I would be curious if you can add to any of these things. Did some research. From what I understand, garages once held cars. Did you know that? It's true. Yeah, I even know some people who actually do use their garage for cars. I'm not going to ask you, but I bet you the majority of the people that you know, and their garage is not filled with a car. It's filled with stuff. We have storage units now because our houses can't hold all the stuff that we have. And I'm the worst at throwing stuff away. Sarah's great at throwing stuff away. She throws stuff away while I'm at work and then tells me about a year later, oh, by the way, that I threw it away. So, and that's probably good for me. But we have more stuff per person than any other nation in history. That's one thing that's different. This nation, per person, has more stuff, possessions, than anybody else in history. In fact, if we brought that rich young man forward to 2015, he would think we were insane rich compared to what he had. So you can imagine maybe some parallels here. We have all kinds of things. My problem, I'll share with you, is a lot of my stuff is associated with memories. I'll find things, say, oh, I remember this. And it's hard for me to let go. You've probably seen the shows Hoarders. I'm not there yet. You see some of the houses, and you're like, wow, how do you become like that? Where you have to walk through aisles of stacks of stuff. And it's hard, I know. But we have a lot of stuff. So we have stuff overload. We have information overload. When they first invented computers, they were worried about storing information. And actually, that turned out to be very little problem. Now they can store an insane amount. And now there's an insane amount of information everywhere. And in fact, and I'm not knocking it, but we had to invent games to use them. It's called trivia. It's useless information. That's why it's called trivia. Crossword puzzles and game shows and information that's not going to change anybody's life, really. You know, you can catch it in the sports stats when they come on after a play. It says, just so you know, this is the fifth time that he stole third on a Tuesday when the pollen count was 57%. You know, it's like these wildly intricate stats and say, okay, wait a second, can you go back and say it again? I'm not sure I caught it. But we have information overload all the time, almost too much information. One concern, of course, for a Christian, and I wonder, they sometimes call it postmodern thinking, when you're trying to distinguish truth from trivia, if you're dealing with somebody who has information overload all the time at work or just in life, here's this thing and here's this thing and here's this thing, and here you come along and say, and you know, you're kind of in line to say, and they're reacting and say, oh, this is this thing. Interesting, huh? Interesting, huh? Interesting, huh? And then you bring the truth and they go, interesting, huh? And it's just in the mix. There's no time or depth to really process it. Wait a second. This is not trivial information. So there's stuff overload, information overload, people overload. We have a bunch of friends. You had this conversation, say, how many friends do you have? I have 457 friends. What do they mean? That conversation didn't exist before. What does that mean? What are they referring to? Yeah, it's Facebook. And I have friends on my Facebook that if you cornered me, I'd be like, I don't know who that is. I don't know. They asked to be my friend, and I said, okay. And I know people now who are going back through and say, wait a second, I don't know this person. But I don't know if this is startling to you or of concern to you, but technology is changing the word friend. It doesn't mean the same thing anymore. In fact, the dictionary has officially accepted the term unfriend. To unfriend somebody is now part of our English language. Whether that's of concern to you or not, it might be debatable. Then again, Windsor might be an exception. How many of you know the names of your neighbors? I bet you some of you do. Some of you do. I think it wasn't that long ago where just about everybody did. That's changed. You've probably noticed that. Kids aren't playing outside as much. I don't know if you've noticed that. Is Windsor, what would you say is the main difference between Windsor and Denver, just to kind of get me up to speed? Is it, it's more community, isn't it? Aren't there people more outside? It's relatively more of a community, or is it just a smaller Denver? I know some of you probably moved here because of things in Windsor that you appreciated. Is there anything you would tell me?
Well, I grew up here in Windsor many years ago. It was just this part of Windsor that we sit in, you know, a couple of miles across. Now it's up on the hill with Interstate 25. Can't say that that's part of this community.
Right.
It's changed a lot in respect. That's just geography.
Right. And I bet you it's growing. I mean, obviously it's growing, but I mean, is real estate picking up here and people are moving here? Probably to a, you know, it's kind of ironic about that. So let's get away from the city. Let's go to this small town and make it into a city. And it becomes the very thing that they're fleeing. Just maybe worth noticing.
Oh, and that's because they have to have their stuff.
Yeah.
They have that convenience store and that gas station and that laundromat and this and that and whatever.
Yeah.
I
have to pick on my nephew. He just moved to an apartment with his roommate, and they were very excited because there were two GameStops right at the corner there. He says, this is a place for us. And that's a video game, you know, place. And then there was a pizza place, and like you're saying, there's got to have our stuff nearby, convenience. Well, there's also choice overload. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but we have kind of a strange arrangement here. This is years ago. I met some people. I got to meet them in Scotland, and they came to America for the first time. I picked them up at the Denver airport, and I got to be the first person to pick them up and say, well, here we go. Here's the United States. And first stop was King Soopers, because they think they were hungry, and maybe, I can't remember. We went in, and they started laughing. And I was like, what's so funny? And they said, look at all the cereal. There's a whole aisle of cereal. We don't even think that's weird anymore. Okay, if you think about it, that's weird. If you've been elsewhere in different places, you might, you know, have a handful. We have an aisle devoted to cereal. I think there's well over, 186, at least last count, 186 different kinds of cereal. From the 1980s to the 21st century, the average number of items in a grocery store has doubled. I think it's about 15,000 to about 30,000. I remember when there was Pepsi and Coke. Then there's Diet Pepsi and Pepsi Cherry and, you know, all kind of Coke One and Classic Coke. And also it's kind of strange. There's all these varieties. You have news on 24/7. When I was growing up, there was four channels on TV. One, if you were desperate, it was PBS, but I learned to like it.
And signed off at midnight.
You what? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then they had the national anthem at the end and the flag, and then it signed off. Not anymore. Hundreds of channels on all the time. We have channels devoted to food, to you name it, there's a channel devoted to it, and, you know, it's interesting. We watch it, but you know what? Somebody with the remote and 100 channels at their disposal, what do they say?
Nothing.
There's nothing on. Yeah. So here's the point. Look at Deuteronomy 28:47. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. There were some issues in their relationship with God, and here's why. It says, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. We are so rich and so blessed that we don't even see it anymore. You probably are well aware there's countries that would love to be as poor as our poverty. Our poverty is their rich. You've probably heard it before. You know, our cars have better homes. Well, unless it's filled with boxes, but you get the idea. Running water is an extreme. I don't know about you, but I tend to, when verses say, you rich people, I automatically say, yeah, you rich people, you millionaires, you need to listen to this verse. No, if you're going home tonight and you've got running water, that verse applies to you. And it's really important to keep that in mind. If you went to somebody's house and you saw toys in every room, the latest, you might reach some conclusions. Either they're very blessed, or maybe they're just really spoiled, is a possibility. I don't know. But the time of prosperity was their issue, and they didn't have time for God. I have a good friend, he said, it's like we're so busy enjoying the blessings that God gives us, we don't have time for him. Because we're so busy enjoying what he gave us. But here's a concern, and I think we need to, we're taking a break at about 7, is that right? Okay. Okay. I've got too much and I'm moving too fast, so I got, you know. You probably heard of the term church shopping. That's kind of concerning because you take the same mentality of going to the grocery store and going and picking your cereal out. We do that with the congregations that we say, well, what's in it for me? As if it's a giant smorgasbord. Whether or not it pleases God or not is almost secondary. Whether or not they're following the truth or not is not necessarily the priority. It's all about what's in it for me. And that mentality can be dangerous for a Christian because there are some things here that are going to be very offensive to your plans, very intrusive. And that's why people veer off from total truth. They just want to play with it a little bit. And so that's some of the concerns that I might have. One more thing, we have activity overload, lots of stuff to do, including zipping over here on a Monday night, which is kind of difficult to fit in. We even have come up with, and I'm going to ruin something for you, multitasking, it's not real, and I'll tell you why later. We have considered doing two or three things at a time, a quality, because we're so busy, and say, look, I can read and watch TV and bounce this basketball at the same time. I'm more efficient. Multitasking is a fable, and I'll explain why later. I remember wanting it to be true. I really did because I had so much to do, but you can't do multiple things at the same time well. You can do them, but it costs you something, and I'll tell you why later. One more quick story, and then I'll quit. Went to Washington, D.C. with my mom. It was a very, very fun trip. And there were so many amazing things. Have any of you been to Washington, D.C.? Endless displays, incredible stuff. And I remember when I hit wow overload. I just didn't have any more because it was like, wow, this is interesting. Wow. Because I saw the, you know, space stuff and Dorothy's slippers and Archie Bunker's chair and all that stuff. And I remember I got to the Hope Diamond. I was out. I said, huh. Looks like a rock. I wasn't impressed anymore. I was out of energy to be impressed anymore. Sometimes we can be dulled by life that way, where it's just like there's one thing after another. You can't find it in you anymore. I learned this recently, and you might find this worth knowing. You know the word cliche? It's an I won't go into English class. It's an onomatopoeia. An onomatopoeia is a word that sounds like what it is, like splash or bang or kaboom. Cliché is a French onomatopoeia. It's the sound of a printing press. Cliché, 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 cliché. I thought that was worth taking to heart because that's what's happening sometimes with our days. And it can go by and go by. And if it's never disrupted by reading your Bible or praying to God, it's kind of scary that your life could be one big cliche that ended up being nothing. So I say all this, and we'll come back after our break here. We'll address some more specific things. But these things get my attention. I don't think I'm doing it right. I think there's some things I could change, and maybe we all could. Any comments before we break? Let's get some cookies here. All right, thanks.
Okay.
This one?
Yeah, go ahead.